Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We exist to help people find and follow God here in Gahanna, Ohio. For more information about our church, visit us online at threecreekschurch.com.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, well, good morning. My name's Joel, and I get to be the pastor here, and we just want to say a special welcome to anybody who's here for the first time. And, you know, we've only been doing this for like 9 months, and so we are still figuring things out, and we just want to invite you into the process with us. But we've identified a few things that we have cared about very, very much from day one, and we have not gotten them from other churches or other people or other books other than this one. We've just gone to the Bible, and we've said, hey, God, what do you want your church to look like? And I mean, you would agree with me probably that you've seen a couple of churches around that maybe don't look like you think a church should look like. And so we're just trying to be one that represents this book, this Bible, very, very well. And this morning, we are going to talk about one of the things that is just a part of our DNA. And so today is Global Impact Sunday. It is. You know, we're out of our turkey comas, and I just want to say thank you for coming, even though, you know, you could have been anywhere in the world. You're here today, and I just want to tell you before I say anything else, you're going to be really glad that you came today. You are going to be very, very thankful here in 45 minutes or so when we head out of here. You're going to be very, very thankful that you came today, because I believe that God has a message for your heart. It's not coming from me. It's coming from one of my good friends, and I'm going to introduce him here in just a minute. But we are not, as long as I'm here, ever going to be a church that exists for us, where we're just going to, you know, how can we get more comfortable chairs? How can we have more comfortable things? Let's get an air conditioner put in here. You know, we're not going to be this church that is constantly comforting and pumping ourselves with comfort. We want to always be a church, as long as I'm here, that is more focused on people outside of these walls than inside of these walls. I've said this before, I love you, but just not that much, right? Like, I want people who don't know Jesus, who aren't in here, to understand how much God loves them more than I want you to be comfortable. And so, from the beginning, we've just said, you know, every dollar that comes in, you know, a portion of it's going right back out. As far as our energy is concerned, most of it is going right back out. Like, we just want to be a church that's focused on other things. And so we've, you know, right from the beginning, established this thing that we're calling Global Impact. And we're going to take a team of 10 people to Burkina Faso. We're leaving in 12 days. And we're taking 10 people. And over the next just a few minutes, I want to share with you what we're going to be doing and why it matters. If you know me, you may know this about me, but if you don't know me, you should know this. I grew up in Africa as a missionary kid. I moved there when I was 3 years old, and I lived there till I was 12. I loved every second of it. And you guys have four questions. I already know what they are, and so I'm just going to answer them publicly. The first question you have is, do I speak African? And the answer is no, I speak French. There's no such thing as African. The second is, have I eaten an elephant? Yes, it was disgusting. Number three is, you want to know what country I was in, and I was in the country of Gabon. No, you've never heard of it, but it was the location of season 17 Survivor, so we've got that going for us. And the last thing is, you want to know if I met your friend who was a missionary in Africa too, and I just want to remind you that it was a continent, and I don't know, okay? Yes, I've gotten that question hundreds of times. I had a friend who went there one time, and yeah, that was like 3,000 miles away, but okay. So now that we have that settled, let me just kind of go back. Let me dip you back into my childhood just for a second. I loved it. I loved every second of it. When my parents told me that we were going to move back to the United States, I was so bummed out. In a lot of ways, I was just coming home for a period of time so that I could go back at some point. I mean, I came back. My shorts were like right here. And I had these long brown Jesus t-shirts that would hang down below my shorts. And I would just run around youth group just telling everybody that I was going to be a missionary. And everybody believed me. You know, they believed me because of what I was wearing. And so I kind of transitioned through junior high. I transitioned through high school. And to be honest with you, I kind of liked America. I kind of fell in love with the idea of living here. It's a lot more comfortable. And it's almost this out of sight, out of mind thing that happens to somebody. If you'd asked me when I was in seventh grade, what are you going to do? I'd say, I'm going to be a missionary. I care about people around the world. If you'd asked me when I was a senior in high school, I'm just trying to figure things out. It was kind of out of sight, out of mind. It's a little bit easier to think that way. Like, when I tell you that in the country of Yemen, Just in the northern part of the country of Yemen, there are 12 million people. 12 million people. There's 11.6 million people in Ohio. So you kind of get the idea of how many people live in northern Yemen. It's estimated, guess how many Christians are estimated that live in northern Yemen? It's estimated that there are between 20 and 30 people who believe in Jesus in northern Yemen. Isn't it just easier to not know that? Isn't it just easier to wish you hadn't heard that? I mean, I heard that recently and I haven't stopped thinking about it. It's just easier to not know that. It's easier to just go about our lives and just kind of act like if it isn't true. It's almost like when you watch the news or you see an article, it's almost like you wish you hadn't even read it and you click out of it or you turn it off before you get the whole scoop because you just don't even want to know. You want to act like it's not there. So then I'm a sophomore in 2006 in college. I've gotten to the point where I'm majoring in marketing. I'm playing soccer. I'm kind of doing my own thing. I'm wondering where in the United States I'm going to live. And I went to this conference. And I wasn't even supposed to go to the conference. I was a volunteer. I was a tech volunteer. I was like the microphone guy. And if anybody knows anything about me, you know that I'm horrible at tech microphone things. Like horrible. I can't believe they asked me to do this. And so I'm handing the guy the microphone, and the speaker's name was a guy by the name of Pete Brockup. Pete Brockup had been a missionary in Burkina Faso at that point for 20 years. He had actually grown up in Gabon, the same place that I had grown up in. So I'm kind of watching myself, you know, my future self. I'm watching him give this message. And he just said something that I haven't been able to shake, and I just want to share it with you. He said, you know, I walked into a village, and I met the village chief in Burkina Faso. This is an area totally remote. And I asked if anybody in the village had ever heard of the name of Jesus. And the village chief told him no, that no one else had heard of the name of Jesus. This is 2003. We're not talking about the 50s or the 1800s. We're talking about like 15 years ago. People hadn't heard the name of Jesus in the history of that village's existence. No one had ever heard of Jesus. And then the village chief led him up a hill to this small mountain or large hill. And he said, look at this. And he looked over the forest landscape of Burkina Faso. And in each village, there are just a number of fires that are going on. Each village has, you know, a couple hundred people in it. And every village has fires going. And he looks over this forest landscape, and there's 43 smokestacks coming up out of the forest, all representing different villages of the same people group that this chief was in the village of. And he said, none of them have heard about Jesus either. You're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have never even had the chance to hear about Jesus. Some of you in here, you've heard the name of Jesus 1,000 times, and you just kind of go, ah, well, maybe I'll take that someday. I'm saying these people haven't even had a chance. They haven't even had a chance. And as a sophomore in college, I just said, I can't ignore this. This can't be an out of sight, out of mind thing. Whatever I do in my life, I've just got to be about this. I've got to be about the proclamation of the gospel in areas where people have literally never heard the name of Jesus. I've read so many books, you guys, about church planting, and everyone says, hold your horses. Don't get involved in too much too soon. I'm just going, forget that noise. There's people that don't know Jesus, and we have people in here with energy and money to make it happen right now. And so forget the noise outside. We're going for it, man. We're going for it. So what are we going to do about it? We can't ignore it. We can't ignore it. What are we going to do about it? There's people that don't know Jesus. And so we start this church, and the conversations start. They started even before we started the church. How are we going to reach out to people beyond our doors, beyond even the United States, and find people that have never heard of Jesus? How are we going to try to do this? Well, We have connected with an organization called Envision. They're in Burkina Faso. They're not people that just go there and come out, go there and come out. They're people that are there. They live there. The couple that we are going to be with, their names are John and Betty Arnold. They've been missionaries for like 30 years, and I've never met them, but I know all of their relatives, and so there's kind of this personal connection with them. And so we're not going over there saying, hey, here's what we're great at. Let us do what we want to do. We're going over there saying, hey, what is God doing here and how can we help? How can we be a boost? How can we serve? We do not think we're the Savior, but we know who he is. And if we can help you in propelling him, that's what we want to do. And so I just asked John, I said, rather than doing this short-term trip where we come over the soccer balls and throw out candy and you know, hurt probably more than we're helping, we're asking them, hey, how can we actually help in your country propel the mission of what is going on? And John wrote me back, and I just want you to, I want you to hear what John said when I asked him how we could help. He says this, we have three or four churches that have invested long-term in Burkina, and that's always exciting as it gives them the opportunity to build relationships and be a part of the progression for kingdom work. Africa, as you know firsthand, is all about relationships, and I believe strongly that churches who invest long-term have the opportunity to build meaningful relationships that lead people coming to Jesus. This is what he wants us to do. We would love for you to consider Burkina as an opportunity to build relationships, share the love of Jesus, and help the national church, that's the people in Burkina Faso, as they reach out. We have a variety of opportunities for teams to come, but we'd love for you to help us put up a metal hanger structure for a village's first church, and then they will put the walls up around it. We have pastors who are ready to move into areas of Burkina Faso and share the news of Jesus, and when we build these hangers for them, it gives them instant credibility in these villages. We have unreached people groups that churches have attached to, and it's become amazing to see God work through churches at home, helping the national church here make inroads to some of these unreached people groups. Listen to this. We have Westridge Church. They took on a people group called the Puguli people in 2009, and today we have 17 churches among the Puguli people. They have built hangars in a lot of these villages and have also helped drill wells. Crosspoint, another church, has adopted the John people since 2014, and they've built four or five hangars, and they've put in many wells. The exciting thing is this, people are coming to Christ. People are coming to know Jesus. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Sometimes when I hear about 12 million people in Yemen who don't know Jesus, I'm just going, where do I even start? And I hear about 43 villages that none of them have heard of Jesus. And I go, how do you even start? Do you just fly over there? What do you do? And the answer is, I don't really know how you get to the point of reaching 12 million people in Yemen. But I know that the answer is not stay here and do nothing. You with me on that? I know it can't be do nothing. So we've got to do something. There's a couple of verses of scripture that I just want to read to you before I invite my friend up here. I think they're verses that are very familiar to you, and my guess is that they're verses that you love. But my guess is also that most of the time that you read them, you stop, and you don't keep reading the next couple verses. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read you a couple familiar verses and then maybe a couple that aren't. This is in Romans 10. Romans 9 and 10. It is the gospel. This is what it says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and you're saved. Who doesn't love that good news? Who doesn't love that? But we stop there. We stop there and we just take the gift for ourselves. Let me just tell you what it says right beyond that. It says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For, listen, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then, listen to this. How can they call on the one that they haven't believed in? How can they believe in the one that they haven't heard? And how can they hear without somebody going and preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? I just know the answer isn't not go. I know the answer isn't do nothing. We've got to do something. And so we're just starting there, and we're going to trust that God is going to propel us to do what he wants us to do. A couple months ago, I got invited over to Dwight and Donna Montgomery's house. Dwight and Donna, they go to this church, they faithfully serve, and they are some of my favorite people in this church. They're an answer to my prayers because they're older than 30, and they offer a whole lot of wisdom than I can probably offer. And so I'm just very thankful for them for many reasons. But one of the reasons specifically I'm thankful for them is they invited Morgan and I and a few other couples over to their home for dinner. And then we showed up, and there's this other guy there, and his name is John Paul. And I shake John Paul's hand. Nobody could have set this up because Dwight and I didn't even know each other well enough at this point. And John Paul is from the country of Burkina Faso. And John Paul and I became fast friends. We spoke a little bit of French together. His is obviously way better than mine. Mine is very rusty. But I just got to hear John Paul's story. And the minute I heard it, I thought, I want my church to hear this story. They've got to hear this story. And so John and his wife Rita, they have three kids. They're here with us today. They live in, I don't even know how you say it. Is it Bellefontaine? Bellefountain? I'm not sure. Clearly, I don't speak French. And but they live, within 45 minutes or an hour of here, but they trekked down here to Gahanna this morning, and John Paul's going to come. John Paul, you can come now. He's going to share with us. Would you guys give it up for my good friend, John Paul?
Merci, monsieur.
Ah. Merci. Good luck. No.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be in Gahanna this morning, where the temperature in the room is perfect for me. Yeah, I like this temperature. This is wonderful. What about the great work that Pastor Joe and his wife Morgan are doing? Give it up for them, please. Yeah, give it up. You know, as he said, he and I met at my good friend Dwight and Donna about a year and a half ago, and it's wonderful just to see what the Lord has done. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, with wisdom a house is built, and with understanding it is established. Now, I like that verse. With wisdom a house is built, and with understanding, it is established. And so when we met about a year and a half ago, there weren't three quick church. It was a vision that God has given them in their heart, and they were ruminating with it. And when I walk in this place this morning for the first time, and see what God has done since our first meeting, God is good. Yeah, you got to give it. God is good. Put your hands together and give God praise. Because a year and a half ago when we met, I think it was four couple. And they were trying to figure things and working. And since then, look what the Lord has done. So, Pastor Joe, well done. You're doing an amazing job. And we will continue to pray for you and your team as you move in alignment with God's will, plan, and purpose for Gahanna and places like Burkina Faso. Amen. My wife and I, Rita, and our kids, we are blessed and honor and humble to be in your midst. And briefly, I got about 15 minutes, maybe 14 now. And I just want to share a few things with you. You know, God is good. God is good. Of all the people in this room, God, I am the most blessed person in this place. That's a fact. Because I can look back and remember where I came from and what God has done. And I want to share that with you. You know, when we look in scripture, one of the common pattern things that we see in scripture are people who met Jesus as they came to him, and Jesus picked them as they were and transformed them. That's the woman in John chapter 4. The woman at the well. Here's a woman who was bruised, hurt, with different life issues. Then she met this man, Jesus. And she dropped her bucket and ran back to the village and told her people, come and see a man. We read in Luke chapter 2 about a man that was born blind. The man couldn't see. And then he met Jesus. Now, the Bible said, and Jesus picks up dirt and spit on it. Think about that. Don't you try that unless you are led by the Spirit. You got to make sure you are led by the Spirit. But Jesus picks up mud and spits on it, put on the man's eyes, and told him, go wash it in the sea of Siloam. And the Bible said, as the man went, he received his sight. And the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to trap Jesus because he healed the man on the Sabbath day. And so they brought the man farther and asked him, is this your son? And is it true that he was born blind? And Jesus said, well, listen, ask the man. He's of age, and he can speak for himself. And so they called the man who was born blind, that Jesus healed, and they asked him, who healed you? And he said, Jesus. And he told the story, how Jesus, but they didn't want to believe the man's story. And in the end, the man got frustrated with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he said, now, this is my version. He said, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but this is what I know. I was born blind, but now I see. And in Mark chapter 5, we read about the story from the man from Gadara. This is a man that was possessed by a legion. No, just not one devil or demon, but a legion of devil that was possessed the man. And so he too met Jesus, and Jesus set him free. You know the rest of the story. He wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you're not going to follow us. This is what I want you to do for you, for me. Go home to your people and tell them what God has done for you. And the Bible said, and the man went, and everybody marveled that this is the same man. Here's my point. Everybody that came to Jesus, they came as they were. And Jesus picked them and transformed them and gave them a story, and they went. The greatest door I think you and I have to the world that is skeptical about Jesus, I think, is our story. What Jesus freed you from, what Jesus saved you from, that's your story, is the door. And so maybe he saved you from anger or suicide or depression or alcohol. Whatever it is, I know this thing. That every man, woman, young and old that come to Jesus, we come as we are. And Jesus takes us as we are and make us. And thus gives us a story that I can now go and say, I was blind, but now I see. I'm not who I used to be. That's a proof that the gospel is real and working in my life. Other than that, well, there's no difference. It is out of that this morning I come here to tell you my story. What Jesus did in my life. That is my story. And that's why I love Jesus, because he picked me up with my mess and gave me a message out of my mess. Somebody said that God will take your test and give you a testimony. And so I put my life story in the form of a book called My Faith or My Family. And as you live in the cafeteria, in the cafe area, you can get copies and read it and pass it on to other people. But this is my life story of what God has done in my personal life that I cannot deny. I can't wait to meet any atheist people. Listen, I love that because I have a story of what God did in my personal life that I know. I know it's a miracle that I'm standing right here. Now, I know that. I'm not just trying to convince you that I know. I know that because I remember what it was like. So you grab the book, you read it, and you pass it on. And I wrote the book for one purpose, because America, we are the most blessed, prosperous nation in the face of the planet. You think about that. And yet, in the midst of being so blessed, as James said, sometimes we forget. And so I wrote the book not just to tell my story, but also to help people like you to cultivate the heart of gratefulness, thankfulness, gratitude, appreciation. Because I think sometimes that one of the sins of our nation is the sins of ungratefulness and unthankfulness. When you read in your scripture, you will find that in the Old Testament that God had a big fight with the children of Israel several times just because they were constantly murmuring, complaining, grumbling. They wanted manna. God gave them manna. They were tired of that manna. I mean, it's just human nature, right? And so read it, share it, and develop the attitude of thankfulness. It is possible to go through Thanksgiving and miss Thanksgiving when you don't have a grateful heart. But when you have a grateful heart, you can have Thanksgiving. Away from that, you don't have Thanksgiving, it's just turkey. And I'm all for turkey. Please, invite me. All right. So read it, pass it, share it. Now, briefly, I want to share with you some of my early upbringing. So I was born in Burkina Faso. I grew up in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is one of those places in the world that you will love, and yet one of those places in the world that will make you cry. I was in Burkina Faso last month. I go to Burkina Faso often. I do a lot of work in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is one of the poorest nations in the world. For those of you who have been to Haiti, you know the socioeconomic conditions of Haiti, where Burkina Faso is worse than Haiti. There are some places when I take you, you won't go. It just will make you question, how can this be? How can this be? In 2018, there are still people that live like that. So let's go into it. This is where I was born, in homes like this. Huts. And you probably got, you know, 5 or 7 people living in one hut. Big family. This is another version of the compound where I was born in. You may not know what this is. This could be a $1 million question. This is a grinder for the women's, where they grind the grains, whether it be corns and millets, and they use the powders and make food. This is the grinders. These are some of the women in my in the household where I grew up. The man standing by the motorcycle, you will read about it. You will read about him in my book. That's my uncle. This is the man that persecuted me when I gave my life to Jesus. That's my title, My Faith or My Family. Consented with the local police to send me to prison. Chased me to kill me. In the name to bring honor back to the family. But God kept me. If you are a woman in Burkina Faso, this is what you will be doing. You will probably be looking for firewood. Or you'll be traveling looking for water. This will be your job. Now you think about this woman. She has a baby on her back carrying this log that they're going to take home and split it by hands to make firewood. Next. And so I grew up, I lost my father when I was 2, my mother when I was 9, 3 siblings under the age of 10, and I was looking for hope. I didn't know what I was looking, but I was looking for something. And then one day I heard about the movie Jesus of Nazareth, and that's the door that God used and opened my. And I was captivated by the message of Jesus. That's what dragged me in. And this man that you will read again in my book, Idrissa, was the guy that picked me in. This is the guy that discipled me in my early upbringing and led me into spiritual growth. Next. Now, you talk about a hanger over there. When I first came to faith, that tree was where we used to have church. Now, you go to my village today, that tree still stands. But when way back, we used to have church under this tree. Now, we didn't have chairs like these. Everybody just go and get a brick or stone, and you sit on it. Now, imagine sitting on a rock or stone. It's not comfortable. And we're not talking about having church for 1 hour or 2 hours. We would dance. We would do it all. We would be there for 3 or 4. That was church for us. Next. And then I fled from my uncle from the village into Ouagadougou, the capital city. Not knowing where to go, I began to sleep in under bridges or any place I could find. I would move from left and right. And then God, by his work, guided me to YFC. And when I got to YFC, this is where I was staying. It was an abandoned building, 8x10 in size, no windows, no doors, and that's where I was staying. Sleeping on cardboard. This is my closet. This is everything I had. And then, and you see the date there, go back, 3/20/98. That's exactly 20 years ago this past March. This lady from Ohio came there on a short-term mission trip and found me in that place. And I was very sick. And she picked me up. Next. That's her and her husband. Next. And they brought me to Lima Memorial Hospital in Lima, Ohio. Or Lima, depending where you come from, huh? And they put me together. Next. And from there, they said, we're going to send you to school. And so I went to school. I went to Bluffton. That's where I met my wife, Rita. Pretending to study, but I was looking. And then I finished Bluffton. And I went on and got a master's degree. And Rita and I got married. We've been married for 13 years. Bless her heart. Huh? Next. And God bless me with 3 incredible kids. Next. That's my story. God picked me up from the dust and cleaned me up. He picked me up with a lot of mess and healed my heart with a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of frustration that I had with no hope, no future, no direction. And in his time, he brought all of that. He brought meaning and purpose and the essence of what he did. And so now we are blessed to be a blessing. That's the second part of my life story. Because now that the Lord has done this incredible work in my life, you may ask the question, now what are you doing? Now, that's the next question, part 2. Stay tuned. And we're going to keep on talking about that. And so, in a nutshell, that is my story. That God picked me up out of this country. And he blessed me beyond measure. I am the first in my family to go to school. My father never went to school. My mother never went to school. None of my siblings went to school. At 38 years old, I have outlived my mom and my father and 3 siblings. The average life expectancy in my country is 57 for women, 55 for men. Burkina Faso is part of the 1040 window, as Joe was saying. It is part where you have the least enriched people's group. And we cannot just hear that and accept that. And so We are doing something about it, and I'm glad to hear that Three Creek Church is doing something in Burkina Faso about that, that people may know and hear and respond to the good news of the gospel. So, Pastor Joe, I can't see you. The light is shining. There you are. That is my life story. And once again, pick up the book and read more and pass up to other people.
Hey, can we get it up for John Paul?
Thank you, man. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, you know, this woman, was she with her husband at the time when she came over the first time?
So she had lost her husband in 96. And then she got the invitation to join the trip. And so she came by herself. And we met. And then she got back to Ohio and got married in 97. And then they came back to Burkina Faso together in 98. And then I came home with them.
Wow. And so you just see this person stepping out in unbelievable faith. Just went on a short-term missions trip, right? Just went on a short-term missions trip. That's what we think sometimes.
That's right.
Crazy things can happen.
That's right.
Which should be a word of warning maybe to the women that are going on this trip. They might come back with
people
in your family. But hey, tell us real quick, you know, you come back and now you kind of, you gave us a hint, you know, what are you doing now? Can you just give us a glimpse, like what, how is God using you and your ministry in Burkina Faso today?
Well, one of the things that we have, from the early beginning in my life, I love God. Changed my life, transformed me, and I have a passion and zeal to share that with other people. And as you well know, Church of Burkina Faso being part of the 1040 window where you have the least unreached people's groups who have yet to hear and have the opportunity to respond to the gospel. We cannot accept that as the status quo. And so part of what we are doing, thanks to my good friend Dwight, who connected us with a ministry called Teach Every Nation, we are working with national indigenous pastors to train them for gospel multiplication nationwide. Through church planting movement, but led by local indigenous pastors who speaks the language, who knows the community, knows the people. We train them, equip them, give them the tool that they need as they go about doing this evangelistic work nationwide. The other part that we do is, as you know very well, you lived in Gabon, you've been to Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is absolutely impoverished, very poor, where some of the things that people go just to get a meal or get water or medical, it's just unthinkable that that's the way people live. So through our ministry, we are incorporating faith and economic development initiatives, be it water projects and medicals and ag programs and working with widows and orphans, you name it, we bring the two together.
Yeah. Yeah, and so really, truly, I've heard the longer version. I only gave you 15 minutes,
sure.
And now I'm regretting it.
No, it's good, it's good, it's good.
You guys, thousands of people in Burkina Faso are being influenced and affected with the gospel and with the initiatives of your ministry, and it just... I just rewind to 1996 or 97 when somebody just went on a short-term missions trip. God put it on their heart. They took a step of obedience. And now thousands of people are coming to know Christ through John Paul and his ministry. And I guess, again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not real sure how to reach the whole nation of Burkina. I just know that the answer isn't do nothing.
That's right. You're right
about
that.
Because you just don't know what God's going to do when you're willing to step out in faith. And just the ripple effect that you can see two decades later, you're just going, I want to be a part of that, but it's got to start now. Like, if we want to see the gospel just permeate through areas of Burkina Faso in 2038, well, it might start with us just being obedient now.
That's right.
So I get it. Sometimes you can come into a service like this and you go, you know, great story. I'm not going on the trip. Thanks for educating me about Burkina Faso. Not really sure what to do. I want to give you two things that you can do. The first is, it sounds cliche, but it really, if I had to pick one of the two, I'd pick this one. We need you to pray for us because there's 10 people that are going on December 7th. We're going to come back on December 18th, and we're going to be there. We're going to go on a four-day trip into the bush.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
We're going to love it.
You're going to love it.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
We're going to come back. We're going to be in Ouagadougou, the capital city. We're going to be working with a handicapped ministry. There's a church, new church plant in a handicapped community.
Yeah.
The handicapped community in Burkina Faso, they're kind of, they're outcast, and they don't even let their kids go to school sometimes. And so this Envision ministry has kind of adopted them. And so we're going to be there for a couple days and just asking God, God, how can we help? Where can we serve? What can we do? And so that's it. So if you would pray for us, if you're the kind of person that loves to put a reminder on your phone or something like that, December 7th through December 18th, we're going to be there and we would covet your prayers. Myself and nine other people are going. The second thing is this, we're not doing this like extra offering, pass the baskets, give to Burkina thing. Because honestly, what I want you to know about our church is that we do not exist to comfort ourselves. We exist, we want to be a church that's giving more than you can imagine away.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And so whenever you give to Three Creeks Church just as a church, you just got to know that it's going back out. As much as possible is going back out. In our first year, everybody told me, don't give anything away. Just kind of save everything, guard everything, buy things for yourselves. You'll give money away later. Our first year, which was, it ended in June, we gave away $25,000. And
God.
Then this year, we're going to give away over $60,000 to people in Gehenna and people in Burkina and other things
Praise
we have going
Praise
on.
God.
So you just got to know, like, our heart as a church is to just give it back out. And so if you consider Three Creeks Church your home church, we just invite you to give and be a part of it. I've said this before, and I mean it with all of my heart. I'm not looking for anything from you. I'm not. I'm looking for something for you.
Amen.
And I had a conversation with somebody in our church a couple weeks ago, and I just said, listen, this is a person that's, you know, calling Three Creeks Church their home church. And I just said, listen, like, if you can't get on board in giving financially to Three Creeks Church, then I really need you to go find a church where you can get on board with the vision, because I can't rob you of that. I can't rob you of the experience of
That's
giving
good.
To something greater than yourself. And
That's
so
good.
If you just disagree with this philosophically, or you don't believe in our vision, or you're kind of skeptical about me, where I'm spending the money, you just got to go somewhere where you can give because it's good for your soul. And
That's
so
right.
If you call this your church, we just invite you to give and be a part of what God's doing here in Gehenna and in Burkina.
Amen. Amen.
Let's do this. Let's finish this way. Stuart and Jalee, would you guys come up here real quick? You guys are over there putting you on the spot, but that's okay. You can handle it. We're going to the bush, so you know, you can start now handling it. You guys, this is Stuart and Jalee Helmuth. From the beginning, they have carried the baton for us in the area of global missions. Stuart is going to actually be kind of our on-the-ground leader over in Burkina. And Jalee, you guys remember watching Apollo 13 back in the day? There's like the person that's like at headquarters with the radio that controls everything. That's Jalee. She's staying here, and she has done everything for us unorganized ones. And Jalee has just kind of set everything up for us. And so John Paul, I would just ask, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for
sure.
Stuart and Jalee?
Absolutely.
And would you pray for our trip that God would use it
Absolutely.
How he wants to?
Who are the ones going? Are you here?
There.
Yeah, stand up
there
if, you are, couples? If you are going.
Okay. All right.
There's
come on
one.
In. Let's.
Tom, come on up.
Quickly. We're rushing against time, so come on in. Quick one. All right. Now, everybody, stretch your hands toward them as we pray together. Lord, we thank you for Three Creek Church that you called them and commissioned them and you sent them into the world to be the light. And they said yes. And they are responding. And they're going to preach Jesus Christ, that the world may know and hear and respond, convicting them of their sins, that they may see the light and come into the light as you draw them from the darkness. I pray in Jesus' name that you will help them to stay steady, grounded on you and in your word. That in a world, that is deviating left and right, that they will stay true with the rock that is unmovable, unshakable, and steady forever, even now. Thank you, Lord, that lives are being transformed and changed in Gehenna, and that you are using them to go to Judea, to go to Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the world, that people will see the light and come into the light. Thank you for Joe and his heart, and Morgan and the leadership. I pray that you will open doors for them to share the gospel with people where you have them, that you will begin to mold and shape hearts to yield unto you. Even now, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will bless them with every blessing that there is in Christ Jesus. And now these ones that are responding to lead and guide strategically to impact the nations as you commission us, I pray for wisdom. I pray for vision. I pray for alignment. I pray for direction as they open their hearts to follow you. Lead, and we will follow. Speak, and we will listen to you. Now, for those that are going to Burkina Faso, even now I pray, Lord, that you will begin to already prepare their hearts, and what you're going to do in Burkina Faso, that they will be part of what you are doing. Even now, prepare the grounds. Protect them. Watch over them. See them to finish what you're sending them for, and bring them safety to their families. Bless this church. Bless this congregation. Bless the members. And use them to fulfill your will, your plan, your purpose that you call them for. We don't want to miss the mark. We don't have times. We don't have years. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will use them to redeem the time as we go forth. In Jesus' name, may the blessings of the Lord be over you. May the Lord bless your union, your marriage, your children, your family. May the Lord give you vision. May the Lord open your eyes to see the nations and follow him as he lead you. In Jesus' name, this we pray. Amen. Amen.